On the second day of Lent, we have the opportunity to reflect upon the words of the centurion, which have been immortalized for us in sacred scripture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But also, these words have been immortalized in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And what this one man, so long ago, actually said to Jesus as a personal response to the Lord when he encountered his majesty and glory, now are put on our lips by Holy Mother Church and are repeated in an entirely different context. The centurion encountered our Lord and begged him for the life of his servant and spoke to the Lord, explained to him that he was prepared to believe even if the Lord didn't come to his home. In fact, he didn't want to even bother Jesus with that particular effort. The centurion spoke to him as a man acquainted with authority, a man who was a military man and who had people under him and understood that our Lord's command would be observed, that his power would go forth at his command, and that his servant would be healed. We repeat these words very often without even thinking about the context in which they were originally uttered. We speak them just before we receive Holy Communion, and when we speak of not being worthy to have the Lord under our roof, we don't refer to his, you know, going down the road to the centurion's home and entering there and then laying his hands on his sick servant. We refer to the fact that Jesus is going to come to us under the form of bread and wine, his body, blood, soul, and divinity into our bodies. The roof under which he comes is our own body. And yet, we are being exhorted implicitly by Holy Mother Church to have the centurion's faith, a faith that knows that the power of God is greater than our sinfulness. We are unworthy. We are not worthy to have the Lord under our roof. We work out our salvation in fear and trembling, and one of the worst things we could possibly do in our spiritual life is to receive the Lord in a state of mortal sin. Sacrilegious communions are a horrible thing. We make peace so often with sin and do not see it in its true reality, but the saints used to faint at the thought of sin. And yet, even if we are in the state of grace, we are in the last analysis still unworthy. We only approach the altar, we only do this in memory of the Lord because he has commanded it. He has commanded his apostles to do this. And he has told us that unless we eat his body and drink his blood, we will have no life within us. But the words of the centurion came from a heart that was right with God, a heart that, in the last analysis, from God's point of view, was as worthy as could be expected. Of course, we put that in the context of the relative perfection of the saints. And of course, no one was more perfect to receive Jesus than our Blessed Mother. And yet, the dispositions of the centurion expressed something that was very pleasing to God. And it was his acknowledgement of his unworthiness that, in fact, made him fitting to receive the Lord under his roof. And yet, what he really wanted and what he received was the healing of his servant. And if we have that same disposition as we begin and continue throughout Lent, realizing that every moment, every day, every suffering, every encounter with God's grace, with difficult people, with opportunities to do penance, that all these are God's providence in our lives, his knocking at the door of our heart and asking us to allow him to enter. In the last analysis, even though we recognize he's not worthy, we're not worthy to receive him, he's the one who wants to come, but he won't come unless we invite him. So as we approach the altar today, we both are eager to receive Jesus and yet aware of our unworthiness, and we approach this altar in a spirit of humility and penance, asking that this Lent might be fruitful, that we might come to love him as he truly deserves, through his grace and through the power of his mercy.
Fructum ventris tuum.